how long have you been doing stand-up?
Since May, but I tried it maybe for a month, like years back, and then I just bombed, so I dropped it. But I picked it back up in May.
Oh, in May? That's not very long. You're doing pretty good. Are you using my system?
Yeah, it's great. I think the hardest thing I have is the mental thing, if you could call it that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get over that mental thing. You know why? Because you're funny, dude.
I'm not.
You know. And let me tell you, trust me. I've tried to work with plenty of unfunny people. I don't tell people they're funny if they're not funny. You've got that core thing. You just need to hone it a bit.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I know. And look, comedians aren't going to tell you that you're funny, because the funnier you are, the less they're going to tell you you're funny, because then you're going to start encroaching upon their territory. So don't ever listen to comedians. They're jerks.
Okay.
So, dude, you gotta know in your heart that you're doing well, and you judge that by the audience response. So let's start out this way. I'm sure you've got questions for me, and that. Well, I'm here to help you get where you need to go, and I've got some suggestions also based on what I've seen.
Okay, cool. Should I start off with the questions?
Yeah, you start off with whatever you want to, man. You paid for this call. This is your call.
I guess the main thing is, I listened to your teleconference. That helped a lot. The audio, exactly. But the main thing, I guess, like you probably saw, just being comfortable on stage and like just being certain, I guess, of just confident in your material. I guess a specific question. Yeah, I guess like a specific question is like the timing. Like if they laugh, if it's like a delayed laugh, is that normal? Or is that just vary depending on the comic?
Well, I think your timing's pretty good, actually. I think it's a lot better than most people, because what most people do is they have a tendency to what's called run over laughs. Meaning to say that they'll tell their material, they'll get the laugh, but they're so anxious to start talking again that they'll cut the audience off. Because the second you start talking, the audience stops laughing because they want to hear what you have to say.
You don't
seem to have that problem at all. So, I don't worry about that at all.
I followed that from the from your killer stand-up system. But yeah, I have a tendency to go fast, so I'm trying to slow down. With new material,
keep this in mind.
Okay.
When you're in front of that group of people, that's and this is part of mentality, and you've got to think about this, you know. And a lot of people don't understand how to work their brain. It's no different than working out your muscles. You've got to be constantly thinking about and being aware of certain things. Are you with me? When I was on stage, my approach went like this. Okay, the second I got that microphone, that room belonged to me. The building belonged to me. The stage belonged to me. The microphone belonged to me. These people were guests in my house. I wasn't a guest in their house. They were a guest in my house. Now, once I got done with my stuff, I hand the mic over, and they get the building back, and they get the stage back, and they get all the stuff back. But for the time I'm on stage, that's my time. That's no different than having people in your home.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's hard enough work to get that stage time as it goes anyway. So you've got to have a certain attitude.
Yeah, definitely.
And my attitude was, if you're in my home, and I'm here to entertain you. Now, if somebody was in your home and they walked over and zipped their pants and peed on your couch, would you say something to them?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, so when someone interrupts my show, they might as well have peed on my couch in my living room.
Ah, I see.
And that's my thing. Now, keep in mind, you got a pretty low key personality. You're structured and methodical. You got some great facial expressions. You know, you got some good body language. But you remind me a lot of not directly remind me of, but as far as style goes, a guy like Jim Gaffigan.
What's his name?
His name is Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan. He's kind of low key. He's mellow. If you get a chance to get a hold of his DVD, King Baby, it's his best work. It's his best work. He got better and better. I mean, I liked his stuff before, don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay.
Man, King Baby, he just he's pretty low-key, just kind of, you know, talking his stuff the way he likes to talk his stuff. You know, he's not overly animated or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading your article on that, actually.
On the blog?
Yeah, on the blog.
Yeah, and the clip that I had of him there was from one of his earlier versions, and they're not as good as what he did on King Baby. Not at all. King Baby,
okay.
he leveled his last.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you could rent from a video store, and, because I would study all kinds of comedians. Now, I studied comedians for different reasons. Like, if I wanted to know, see how to talk on the phone, then I'd study a comedian that talked on the phone during their act. And if I wanted to learn how to tell a story, then a certain kind of story, like news articles, then I would study a comedian that, did news articles and whatnot.
Okay.
Now, here's a hard question for you, dude, and I want you to answer it honestly. How much time do you spend rehearsing before you go on stage?
Definitely not enough. Usually, with the new material, it's only the day of. Like, I always spend the whole day just kind of running through it, but it is never enough, to be honest.
Okay.
That's probably the one thing
I need to work on. If you're serious about doing this, I'm going to give you some secrets. Are you ready for some secrets?
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Yeah, so if you really want to grab this thing and you really want to smoke them on stage, then there's two things that you need to do. First of all, you need to rehearse. And I would recommend, doing it the day of is good because it keeps it fresh in your mind. But in reality, you should be doing a little bit a week before that gradually goes up to the day of, doing more and more and more stuff. But here's the big secret that you need to know. All right, and it has to do with, did you see my article on the blog about body language alignment?
I think so. I know I read as much as I could, but I'll probably have to be reminded of it.
Oh, no worries. It doesn't matter if you've read it or not, but I just know that there's an article there, and if you put in body language alignment, you'll find it. But basically, what people don't seem to understand about stand-up comedy, and this is not stuff that you hear from other stand-up comedy teachers, is that the words that you say, your voice inflection and tone, and your body language, including your hand movements, body movements, and facial expressions, are all connected, just like your fingers are connected to your hand. And what happens is if you're up there telling people something, and what you're telling them doesn't match your body language and voice inflection and tone, you won't get the response that you want. Because subconsciously, they know they're being joked. You're trying to pull a fast one on them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it's only been in recent years that I've been able to describe this more intelligently. I used to tell comedians that for the slice of time that you're on stage, every single thing you say needs to be real. And I'm not talking about real to that audience. I'm talking about real to you. It needs to be absolutely 100% for real. Now, whether it is or not, doesn't matter. But that slice of time you're on stage is for real. Well, the reason that I would tell people that, and I can explain it now, is because if you believe what you're saying, whether it's completely 100% true or 0% true, if it's real for that moment in time, then your voice tone and inflection and body language and facial expressions all line up.
Okay.
Am I making sense to
you? So that comes from rehearsing, being real comfortable with the material?
I'm going through this big explanation because when you rehearse, because there's something that you do on stage that you need to get out of right now. It's you tell a joke and you look down.
Okay.
Now, part of that may be from the way you're rehearsing. Now, I'm going to tie this all in. When you rehearse, I recommend that you rehearse with something that's like a mic. Now, it doesn't matter what it is, a hairbrush, anything, so that you've got that mic, you're completely comfortable with your hand being up, with your hand on the mic and your mic being up next to your mouth, so that you're completely comfortable. But when you rehearse, you need to rehearse in the position of confidence, and the position of confidence is head up, shoulders back, and chest out. I don't mean that in an exaggerated way. I'm talking about, think about any time in your life that you've been the most confident about anything. Look at any kid that's just made a touchdown or just hit a home run or just made a good grade in class. Their head is up, their shoulders are back, their chest is out. Okay, your body knows that that's the position of confidence. It knows. If you're depressed, your shoulders are slumped forward, your head is down, or you're in despair, your body knows that too. So if you want to get out of that, you need to assume the position of confidence because your body automatically knows. It goes, oh, we're in a position of confidence. We must be confident.
Okay.
So when you rehearse your material, you need to be in a position of, you know, you need to have the body language of confidence. You need to have your head up, your shoulders back, you know, head up, shoulders back, and automatically when your shoulders are back, your chest comes out naturally. The shoulders are back, and you need to never, never take your eyes off that audience. Never. And watch what happens. Watch what happens to your laughs. They're going to go up. I can guarantee you right now. You still there? Hello? 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 I'm going to stay on the line here just in case somebody might call back in. Am I still on here? Okay. Hello?
Hey, sorry. I think I got disconnected. It could be the weather here. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I figured as much. I wasn't going to hang up on you. This has happened before, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't.
As I was saying, when you rehearse, you got to make sure that you're looking out. You're looking out at the audience always. You never take your eyes off of them. Not now, when I say you never take your eyes off of them, if you go over to the stool and you get, a drink of water or something like that, that's different. But when you're talking and when they're laughing, you need to look at that audience.
Okay.
Look at them. That's your power. That's your confidence on stage. Remember this. On a subconscious level, just the mere fact that you were able to get up in front of this group of people, you're automatically in a higher position. You automatically gain these people's respect before you ever said anything into the microphone. You know why? Because you had the balls to get up in front of these people, because most people don't have that.
Oh, okay.
So you stand up there and look them right in the eyeball, or appear to look them right in the eyeball, because a lot of times you're on stage, the lights are so bright you can only see a few people in the front. I don't ever worry about the people in the front. I always look out into the darkness, just like I'm looking at different people. You know, I just kind of pretend that they're there, you know.
Okay.
And when you look over these heads at these people, well, they're going to think you're looking at them when you're really not. You know what I mean?
You said, sorry, I missed the last part.
Well, you always want to keep, when you're talking, and even when they're laughing, you want to look at that audience. Look at them. That's your confidence.
Okay.
That's the important thing.
All right, so eye contact.
Eye contact is the biggest thing. You go watch any open mic, and you watch anybody who's using notes, and you'll never see them gain any momentum, ever. They'll never do it. I don't care if they're a headliner. I don't care who they are. If they're using notes, the second they look down to look at those notes, they've lost it. They've lost any momentum that they've got. They've lost that connection. So what they do is they look down at these notes and they keep connecting and reconnecting with this audience. but they never gain any momentum. And the reason being is because they're not keeping eye contact. Plus, it's not professional looking notes anyway.
Oh, I see. Right.
So, what other questions do you have?
I guess getting comfortable. It probably all ties to something you picked up on already. I know in the system you have, you use like sort of like audio recordings to help get into your subconscious. How long does it take before you're like just really comfortable on stage?
You're talking about I believe it's chapter 9 in the performing guide. My secret weapon.
Right.
I'll tell you what happened. I had tried everything. I tried hypnosis. I tried all kinds of things that I just couldn't handle it. And I knew I wouldn't be able to get far unless I was able to control this. You know what I mean? So
right, exactly.
What I did was I recorded this. I got a hold of a book called Self Talk, and I made up these statements and I recorded them. And this was back in the day when I had cassette player. Cassettes were the thing. It wasn't CDs and DVDs and micro whatevers. So I took one and I recorded this however many statements it was. And then I re-recorded them over and over and over again. And I had a tape player sitting in my car. And so I put it back to back so that all I have to do is turn the tape over and put it in again. And every day to and from work, I didn't listen to the radio. Actually, I didn't have a radio. I had a 72 Volkswagen Bug that didn't have a radio in it. So every day I'd get into my car, turn that thing on, and just drive to and from work. And every time I drove to and from work or had to drive anywhere, that's all I listened to. That's it.
Oh, okay.
And after a while, I got to the point where I just was in the habit of turning it on. I didn't even hear it, really. It was just kind of there, me telling me how confident I was and blah, blah, blah. You've seen the statements. And so I did that, and, dude, in 30 days, it was actually less than 30 days, it was gone. Whatever that thing was, it was gone.
Okay, 30. Oh, wow.
Yeah, 30 days. But here's the thing, just to let you know, I went on to listen to that for a year, for a whole year. I just got into the habit of it, and I didn't have a radio in my car anyway. But it was 30 days, less than 30 days. I don't like telling people that it was less than 30 days because I want to make sure that if they do this, they understand how powerful it is. But, yeah, in less than 30 days, that stuff was gone. I mean, I had actually reprogrammed my subconscious.
Okay.
And I haven't had a bout of it since.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. Would I anticipate a show? Hell, yeah. I would love it. But my anticipation was to get on a stage. It wasn't sitting there with dry mouth and having to pee 9 times. Stomach's upset and all that. No, none of that. Well, my anticipation was my excitement to be able to get on stage.
Oh, okay.
I mean, here's the reality, man, is most people won't do that. Now, I put it in my book, but most people won't do that. They just go, yeah, whatever, and then they just keep dealing with this issue. I wasn't going to deal with this issue. I knew that if I was going to get up there and I wanted to kill an audience, I mean just knock them dead, if I wanted to do that, I had to be completely comfortable. I had to be completely comfortable with my material, and I had to have no fear. So I programmed myself to have no fear, and that's how I did it.
Oh, okay.
Your subconscious is a powerful thing.
Right.
And not only is your subconscious a powerful thing, but it's also a powerful thing for that audience, which goes back to that body alignment thing. Even though they consciously can't pick up what the deal is, subconsciously they know there's something that's not in alignment. It's not right.
Right. Okay. I think that's like my biggest thing is just being completely comfortable.
Another thing. I notice you're working pretty darn clean. So I'm going to give you another key to this comfort issue. The more times you get on stage, the better you're going to be. Now, a lot of comedians limit themselves to the stand-up comedy stage. Now, I noticed one of yours was at an Intel Tower show.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, let me give you some ideas, because you're there at Intel, you've got connections you don't even know that you've got. and I'll tell you, you're there in Sacramento, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Within a 25-mile radius of where you're talking to me on the phone right now, every night of the week, there's no less than dozens of meetings that occur all over. Lions Club, Elks Club, Moose Club, DFW Shriners, the National Association for this, Sheriff's Association, blah, blah, blah. You could go out and offer 7 minutes for free, and get more stage time than you could possibly want. I'm a corporate clean comedian. I'd like to come out and do a little bit of my act for you. I'm working on a big show, which you are. You're working on a big show sometime in the future, you are. And go out there and give them your all. Ask them if they've got a mic. Do you have a mic? I just need a mic. You know, a little sound system. Dude, you could be talking at all kinds of groups. That's one thing. That stage time counts. It's not just stand-up comedy club stage time. That stage club counts. And I don't know if you know my story or not. I did not develop my act at open mics. Did you know that?
Right, yeah. You was through teaching, right?
Yeah, I taught comedy traffic school. Wah-wah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was up in front of a new audience for 8 hours, 2 to 3 times a week. And the big secret there is once I realized that audiences were audiences, it didn't matter if they were in traffic school or sitting in a comedy club, they all want to laugh.
Right, right.
Yeah. So if you'll expand your horizons, not to mention the fact that comedy work, 20 minutes can pay you $500, 30 minutes can pay you $1,000. This is low end, dude. This is low end.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'll never find that in the comedy clubs. Not unless you're George Lopez, somebody like that. Uh-uh. No, dude, there's money to be had. If you're clean and funny, you can go anywhere.
Okay. So where do you draw the line between, the clean material? Like sometimes some of the racists, I always worry about it.
Some of what?
Some of the racial topics, probably I couldn't.
You have to be completely comfortable. But here's the thing. What's your origin?
I'm Chinese.
Chinese. Okay.
Yeah.
Chinese. So here's the thing. See, as a pasty white guy, I really can't hit too many of those issues. Not with relative safety. However, if you are of a ethnic background other than short, pasty, white midget, you can.
Oh, okay.
You have more leeway because of who you are, because of your background.
Okay.
And I'm surprised that you don't talk about your name. Kalani Malone?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it sounds like somebody that loves to drink at a luau.
That is true.
You know? So, you know, but now here's one of the things that I'll tell you. A lot of the Asian guys, I know, because, you know, have you ever heard of a guy named Dat Fan?
Oh, yeah, I saw him, actually.
Ah, did you? Yeah. Dat Fan's open for me, bro. There's two winners off of, Last Comic Standing that's open for me.
Well,
Dat Fan's one of them.
Oh, I see.
And you're going to find that, you know, you see, the Asian guys talk about the eating dogs and eating cats thing. So I'm going to recommend to you, if you do that, then you better have a different kind of twist. And you did at the end of some of your stuff. You had that.
Oh, okay.
You know? But, you know, you need to check out those comedians and see what they're doing, because you don't want to do, not that you don't want to do the topic, but you don't want to do the same angle, the same approach as them, because you just get lumped in. They'll start calling you an Asian hack.
Oh, I see.
You know? But here's another thing. Corporate audiences, they don't care. And one of the things is, do you go out to do, let's say you go out to do an association dinner. You're only going to do 7 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So you got this association dinner. What I would do in those environments is I always started out my act with a street joke. A clean street joke, one that was short, and one that I knew would just kill every time. And the reason I did that is because you're going out there alone. There is no opening act. And it can be, I figured out early that it can be hard to get started. So what? Because the audience is really cold. And I don't mean that they're really, they're just your typical cold audience, just like in any place, you know. So I come out and do the street joke, bang, it broke the ice, and I could ease right into my comedy material, and it was excellent.
I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, normally you wouldn't do those kinds of things on the stand-up comedy stage. They're a little more artsy-fartsy about crap. But out in the corporate world or events or any of that kind of stuff, that's a different story, dude.
I see.
Yeah, so the thing that I don't want you to do, and this is completely up to you, but I don't want you to limit yourself to just comedy clubs. There's a big world out there of places to perform if you can look outside. And I'm not saying dump the comedy clubs, no way. They're part of your arsenal too. But it's about getting you in front of people and doing your stuff, doing it with your head up, your shoulders back, and just doing what you do. I can sit here and tell you all day long, Kalani, that you got it, you can do this thing and whatever. And it's meaningless, unless you know it in your heart.
Okay.
You know it from the inside out.
Well, it definitely helps to hear. But, yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, you got to have that confidence. You got to not be afraid to exude that confidence. I mean, it takes a lot to get up. I mean, but the reality is you can't respect anybody else, not really, until you respect yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Can I call you? This line is pretty choppy. Let me just call back. I know we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah. Just call back. I'll wait for you.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll wait for you. Go ahead. Did you make it back on?
Yeah. This is much clearer. Sorry. My home phone was I don't know. There's a storm going on, so I don't know if that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. This
whole thing about rehearsing before you go on stage, you can understand that concept, right?
Right, definitely.
Okay. Well, building confidence is no different. That's not something that you do once. It's a constant thing you do. Now, me, I was lazy. That's why I used the tapes, made the tapes, had those statements, you know. And the resource for that is Shad Helmstetter's What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
Okay.
So if you want to get the book on it, look at the science of it, those types of things, you're more than welcome. But I needed something that I could do that wasn't that hard, and that was easy.
Okay. What's the author again?
Shad, S-H-A-D, Helmstetter, H-E-L-M-S-T-E-T-T-E-R, I believe it is.
Okay.
You can get his books for cheap in a big bookstore. They're paperback, cost you $7, $9, maybe not even that much. They're older books.
Oh, okay.
But the stuff works. It absolutely works. You know, these kinds of things work.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I say yeah, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to be a success, you got to be a student of success. You got to, you know, rehearse success. That's what's going to make you stand out. Now, do you evaluate your material?
Do I what?
Evaluate your act?
It's painful. But I do.
Well, it is at first. I'll be the first to admit, because I'm just like everybody else. I'm the last person that I want to see. But if you've got a goal, are you using Comedy Evaluator Pro?
I have it. I just have to install it. I downloaded it at work, so I just have to move it to my home computer. But
well, if you do that, just download it on your home computer and then just email me. I'll send you the code.
Okay.
I'll send you the password so you'll have it, you know. But you need to take a look at that because you can determine each minute what happened, which were your weak minutes, which were your strong minutes. And what you can do is sit there, and if you've got your stuff in single-line format, you can line it up, make little marks on where your first minute was, second minute was, and that kind of stuff, and you can focus on those minutes.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And, you know, tighten it up. It's the best evaluation tool out there, period.
Actually, it's
the only evaluation tool out there.
I think this is the first. I've never heard of anything like it. But yeah, I'll definitely use that.
Yeah, well, it's going to tell you where you're at. Not only that, it gives you a numerical score. And the way it works is really simple, dude, really simple. When you're on stage, when a comedian is on stage, there's only two things that happens, only two. The comedian is either talking or the audience is responding. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Now, each one of those events is measurable.
Right.
Right? The amount of time you're talking and the amount of laughter that you accumulate. Comedy Evaluator Pro helps you determine a ratio, and the higher the ratio is, the funnier you are, based on the laughs. It's really that simple.
All right, that's cool. So that tool works for video and audio?
Yeah, it doesn't plug in or anything. You're just listening.
I see. You kind of just use it as for marking the... Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Originally, I started out with a stopwatch. I started out with two stopwatches. And you can use two stopwatches, and that'll give you an overall.
Uh-huh.
But then if you want to try to get a minute-by-minute breakdown, dude, you have to grow two more hands. And that's how the software was born.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you need three more hands, two to do two more stopwatches and one to write down the results. So that's how that works. So that's an evaluation tool, and you can take your stuff out. And, dude, for the first 3 years I was doing this, I had every single thing that I did in single-line format. And I didn't have Comedy Evaluator Pro.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
So what other questions do you have? What other mystery can I expose?
So sometimes I feel like they're laughing, not necessarily because of what I said or just how I like sometimes if a joke goes bad and I just kind of react to
it. Call attention to it?
Yeah, and I get to laugh. Is that something we eventually want to just, like, not... I mean, it's a good thing to...
No! Now, if that constantly doesn't get a laugh, you know, then you definitely want to take care of it. But your ability, and I saw you able to do this, your ability to do what's called calling the moment is excellent.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like a safety cushion for you. So if you go out to try new material, then you've got your safety cushion there. You're not afraid to call the moment.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Now that's one exception. That's one exception where I wouldn't be afraid to look down.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's an exception to the rule. There's always exceptions to every rule. I'm talking about it as a general rule. You want to look up and look out. But if you do something and it lays there like a dead fish, then you can look down and make your statement, and it'll have a higher impact.
Ah, I see. That makes
sense. What you're doing is you're retreating. The audience is seeing you retreat. Your body language is saying he's retreating, and it's funny.
Right.
But as a general rule, when you're on stage, you don't want to be retreating. You want to be advancing.
That's true. Okay.
In military terms. So yeah, you got to be a student of this. You got to study what it is that you did on stage, because here's the reason why you have to study what you did on stage after the fact. Because when you're on stage, you're really busy doing what you do. You're really not in evaluation mode. You're in performing mode.
Right.
Okay. So you're not really in a position to evaluate on the spot. There's too many things you need to be aware of. You know, your act, the audience, what's going on, how are they responding, how long do you need to shut up before you start talking again, all those kinds of things. You can't really evaluate that while you're on stage. You need to evaluate that stuff once you're done. I would recommend that you audio tape or videotape every single performance until you just got smoking hot material. And then any time that you're going to do new material, then you videotape that to see how the new material works.
Okay.
I mean, anymore, these toys are ubiquitous. Everybody's got them. It's not like they're only in the reach of the super rich.
Right. Okay.
Now, that pretty much concludes our session. Now, I have some questions for you.
Oh, sure.
Okay. What is your ultimate goal in this comedy game?
Oh,
interpreting basically to work full time from it. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen, but you know, just right. I guess my short term goal is to the ultimate goal, yeah, is to be working. But short term,
you know, that's what every single person that I've talked to, that's their ultimate goal.
Okay.
Every single person, it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Now, other than the stuff that we talked about today, and this is my last question for you, because the other questions that they play into this, because what I'm going to be doing is you know, breaking these down. And if you want a copy of this, this consulting, I'll process it. You can have it for $20. I'm not going to be using it for any kind of product or anything like that. I may use pieces of it for testimonial purposes or something like that, but I'll do that with your permission.
Okay.
But if you want it, what I'll do is I'll pull it down and I've got to run it through a cycle and it'll take out the dead spaces. So this 45 minutes or 50 minutes won't be 50 minutes. It'll only be 37 minutes or something like that, just to let you know.
Okay.
Take out all the spaces so you don't have, you know, spaces while you're thinking, while I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah, I'll take all those out and they'll be reduced down to a half a second. So it sounds really like, it sounds like we're just going back and forth.
Oh, okay.
But if you want that, I'll process that for you. It'll take me a day.
Yeah, that's cool. I think
if you don't want it, earlier. That's cool. It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah, if it's not too much trouble, yeah. There was a lot of, I should have switched phones earlier, but I was having trouble. I was hearing everything, like I was only catching bits and pieces. So it would definitely be good.
Oh, okay, well, so here's my last question. Other than the stuff that we talked about today, and if you want to add that, it's okay. But let's just say that I had a trunk, and it was full of resources, full of all the resources you would ever need for stand-up comedy, and right now I said, you know what, if I open this trunk, I'll give you the one resource that you need right now. What would that resource be?
You mean in terms of the products you have?
Yeah, well, No. This is nothing that – this is a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
If I had one resource and I said – it's almost like the genie in the lamp, you know, and you only get one wish. Well, I've got this trunk full of resources. And I don't know what it would be. It's just I've got – they're in this trunk. And the one thing that I could pull out of this trunk right now and give it to you, just give it to you, that would help you accomplish something that you need to do right now, whatever it is, what would that resource be?
For me, that's a tough one. I guess for me, it would it'd probably be the confidence thing, just being comfortable on stage. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that already, but you changed your mind.
Yeah.
All right, well, fantastic. Well, if you will do these things that I talked about in this audio, if you will do these things, you're going to find that your confidence is going to go up.
Okay.
The three things, I'm going to go over them one more time.
Okay.
Three things is rehearse frequently, not just the day of, rehearse frequently. The second thing is rehearse in the posture of confidence, which is what? Tell me what that is.
Like eye contact and like being.
It's head up, shoulder back.
Okay. Head up.
Head up, shoulders back, looking forward. Okay, not looking down.
Okay.
And I want you to go back and take a look at these videos and see if you can spot what I'm talking about, especially on the Intel video. It's the clearer one.
Oh, okay.
And watch what I'm talking about, okay? So there's that. So rehearse frequently, rehearse in the posture of confidence, and get in front of as many audiences as you can. Don't restrict yourself to just stand-up comedy audiences.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Okay. If you'll do those three things, every chance you get, you need to be in front of people, practicing your confidence. Remember, confidence is something that you don't pull out of a bottle. If they had that, I would be selling those pills.
Right.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I hope you continue on because you've got a lot of talent, Kalani.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much for your advice. I'll definitely work on those things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely love your like articles and your material. It's definitely good.
Well, I really appreciate that. And it just makes me feel good that people are using my system. I'm watching them. And, dude, you're smoking the normal open mic people. Smoking them. You've got to be self-aware of that. There's people that go up there and they suck. I mean, even the crickets aren't working because they think it's so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're doing quite well, my friend, and I just hope you continue on.
Okay. Thanks so much.